When your eyesight is at stake, it pays to travel to one of the world's leading eye surgeons. Dr. Johnny Gayton is an author, speaker, Christian leader, and a renowned surgical eye expert. Whether it's cataracts, PRK, LASIK, or implanted lenses, when only the best is needed, see Dr. Johnny Gayton at EyesightAssociates.com.
Hi, I'm Joanne Vicknair, Meemaw, with It's Storytime, Meemaw, an answered prayer for stories that point children to God on the Truth Network for Kids. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it. Share it. But most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Kolov.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. Today is our Labor Day special. That's right. I'm doing a whole show dedicated to Labor Day. It's Labor Day weekend, and I could think of no one better to have on the show with me today than a man who knows how to labor himself. And that is none other than the infamous Robbie Dillmore. Welcome back to the Mad Up Show, Robbie.
I know there's a lot of mothers out there right now are saying, you guys don't know a thing about labor.
Yeah, you probably have a point. But then again, there's different types of labor.
Yeah, there you go.
And giving birth would be one form of labor.
Oh, absolutely. But my father worked for Buick when I was growing up, so he was white collar. And he had very strong opinions, as did everybody he knew about labor and all the problems that that caused. And it caused me to have a great interest in labor as a young man as to, wow, why does my dad get so upset when anybody mentions labor union? And, you know, it's funny that even my career early on as a Christian car guy was affected by when I got called on there by Fox and Friends. One of the first questions they said, well, how are you going to work with the unions?
Okay.
So you can see this. It's a big question.
Well, there's some. So for our listeners today, hopefully you're going to find this fascinating as Robbie and I and the history of Labor Day. How did it even come about? Why is it a national holiday? Why do people get an extra day off from work, from laboring? And so we're gonna talk about that today. You already got me going, Rob. My will's turning. So there's physical labor.
Right.
There's the labor of giving birth. So there are different types of labor here, by the way. But you mentioned the Christian car guy. So for those who are tuning in, maybe for the very first time to the Man Up Show, and they're like, Christian car guy, that sounds like an oxymoron. What exactly does that mean? That's your radio show. But give our listeners a little quick backdrop on Robbie Dillmore.
Well, yeah, my father worked for Buick, so I spent my entire life for many, many years, over 40 years in the automobile business. And my father had me come up actually through the service department. So I worked with a lot of labor guys, checking cars, doing mechanic work, all that stuff, so that I would understand that aspect of the car business.
How young would you have been when you first started in?
Oh, I was 11, 12 years old.
Wow.
Changing oil and undercoating cars and all that kind of thing. My father had a real work ethic. And
so you were breaking labor laws even way back then. I'm kidding. Keep going.
And so, yeah, for the first probably 15 years of my career was working in labor. I mean, it was parts department, service department, understanding how to fix cars and all those kind of things before I ever came into the sales department, finance department, began to understand that aspect of the business. He wanted me, my father did, to understand the labor aspect of it, which, believe me, with no service department, no good car dealership operates. I mean, it's the backbone of the thing, as does, you know, if you're going to manufacture cars, you better have labor. And Henry Ford, or the great car people of the ages, really what turned America around in Detroit and all those places had to do with those guys' relationship with labor.
service, right? I mean,
yeah.
Service is everything, right? No matter whether it's car business or anything else. I mean, you're walking into a restaurant, you want good service, right? And you want to hire good labor, right? Workers working.
I don't know if a lot of people know. I think it's spectacular that one of the reasons that we live in the society that we do was the automobile business. And Henry Ford had a goal, and his goal was to make an automobile that was cheap enough so that his workers could buy it in less than 3 months' wages.
Wow.
So
wow.
The original Model T, when it came out, I think in 1907 or 8, whenever it was, the thing was like at that time would be similar to about $20,000 if you used inflation money. But by 16 or 17, he had worked and worked and worked. And the whole reason for the assembly line was so he could get down the price of the car. But by that time, if I'm not mistaken, he had the Model T down to somewhere in the neighborhood of $400.
Wow, $400.
$400 so that his workers could afford to buy the car. That was his whole thing. And so when he couldn't get it down low enough, you know what he did? He raised the wages.
Let them make more money so that they could then afford. And what a marketing strategy, though. Get all those cars out on the road, people seeing them,
right?
And then wanting one.
And then they could afford them. You see, there was the magic of the Model T. Was here came a car unheard of that everybody could afford, right? And because all those people could afford them, it created demand. That demand put more people to work. And of course, Dearborn, Michigan, you know, bears that to this day.
On the map.
Right. That's the magic of what happened. And it was because Henry's goal was to do something for the labor that was building the cars.
Wow. You know, it seemed like I remember reading maybe his biography or something, Robbie. And at one point, there's a term in business called hostile takeovers.
Right.
Probably heard that term before.
Yeah.
And my understanding, you may know more about this, and I think I have this story right, but they wanted to do a hostile takeover of Henry Ford's business, actually took him to court to try to prove him like legally insane,
right.
like institutional insane, and we're asking him questions about the French Revolution, all kinds of crazy questions in court. And Henry says, look, I have 6 buttons on my desk. If there's something I don't know, I just push a button and in through that door walks somebody who does know. I don't need to know anything about the French Revolution. I build cars and I hire people around me. He was smart enough to hire smart people around him,
right,
who knew what he didn't know, which is what made him so successful. And my understanding is when the judge heard his replies, like, yeah, we need to throw this case out of court. We're done. This guy's pretty smart, right? So have you ever heard that story before?
I had not.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's pretty accurate to the way it all unfolded. But anyway, so they didn't prove him insane, and Ford Motor Company became what it is today.
And the United Auto Workers is a real force to reckon with.
Well, and you mentioned labor, and I want to test our listeners' knowledge out there, and maybe even test some of your knowledge with a few fun facts here in a minute. But you mentioned unions, and can you talk? And you'd asked me before we came on air. You had asked me a question: did I know where a term came from? Maybe we start there and ask me.
Yeah. I had asked the question, you know, did you know, have you ever heard the term redneck, where it came from?
Well,
like, we live in North Carolina, so I'm guessing that you've heard the term redneck.
I have definitely heard the term redneck, but I do not know where it originated. Inform me and all of our listeners where that started.
So the idea, you know, as we're talking about Labor Day, how important labor is to who, where we are and how we are, is that the American Industrial Revolution led to, unfortunately, some horrible practices. You know, child labor that was unbelievable, or people would work crazy hours.
Yeah.
But it led to practices in the mines that were unthinkable of what the working things that miners would have to face, often cave-ins and all this kind of stuff. And so when the labor unions came about, you know, in the 1850s, 1870, 1880, and all that stuff, when they started to organize, they tried to send people into the mines to get these people organized. Well, the union bosses, I mean, not the bosses, the mining bosses would hire these vigilantes or whatever to go take people and literally kill them if they began to organize the mines. And so in West Virginia, these guys put on these red bandanas around their necks to show that they were organizing as sort of a secret code, whatever.
Solidarity.
Solidarity. And so as they tried to, you know, get organized, they were wearing these red bandanas. And so those West Virginia rednecks, you know, that was the deal, man. They were organized in order to really save their family, save their lives. I mean, it you know, I grew up in my household, my father had very little respect for the union. So I wanted to research that for myself. And I end up with a tremendous respect for what the unions were in the 1800s and the early 1900s. Of course, what they are today is something to reckon with.
Wow. And certainly, as you said, then helped, as I hear what you're saying. So it helped with not abusing child labor,
right,
and setting kind of standards at kind of what age you could officially or should officially begin to work or could work, be hired and work, whether for a union or just employment in general, right? And that's still in effect. Like what's the, is it 14 or I'm not even sure what, like, you know, McDonald's can hire somebody at what age? 15, 16?
Well, they have to have a work release from their parents,
right,
until they're, I think, 17.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure. But yeah, there's definitely all those laws in place.
Yeah. McDonald's can't hire like an 8-year-old to work for them.
No.
Or shouldn't.
And then even then, they can't work them but so many hours based on all these things that the labor unions really did for us back then.
Okay.
But another thing they did for us, I think, has to do with what you're going to ask me.
So kind of a fun fact for those who maybe don't know, like, because you know, everybody, you know, it's Labor Day weekend, everybody typically, well, I shouldn't say everybody. I mean, I know, obviously, in today's world, nothing ever closes anymore. I mean, there was a day when stores would close, you know, a Sunday, Sunday go to church day, you know, and pretty much everything or many things or most things would be closed, you know, to honor the Sabbath and not labor on Sunday. Although a biblical principle would be work 6 days, rest one.
Absolutely.
labor goes way back to when he told Adam, hey, you're going to till the garden, you're going to work in the garden, you're going to do all that, right? You're going to work, you're going to have to sweat the brow, you know, and work the lands. But from a biblical perspective, we're technically only supposed to work 6 days a week, rest our bodies, rest our minds, rejuvenate our spirits, right?
And right,
by attending church and fellowshipping with one another, whatever that looks like. It could be a house church. It could be a synagogue. It could, you know, different types of churches that people can attend. But all that said, they put this in place many, many, many years ago. In fact, a fun fact people may not realize, even though they're enjoying the holiday this weekend, and some will be off on Monday, right? But is President William Howard Taft signed the act creating the U.S. Department of Labor in his final hours as president, March 4th, 1913. And then the decades to follow, the Department of Labor supported the interest of workers, job seekers, even retirees.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
We're across the country reducing, because of this, reducing workplace fatalities, injuries, and recovering stolen wages. Benefits were put in place. So those of you listening out there, thank you. You know, thank President William Howard Taft.
I've never thanked Taft before. This was my first opportunity.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, President Taft, for setting all this in motion so that we could have benefits and wages and all that. And then there's a few fun facts I'm going to ask you too, because Labor Day, so that was in 1913, but Labor Day goes back before then. You kind of, if people were listening, you kind of gave it away a little bit, but not really. Do you know the exact year, Robbie, when Labor Day was first celebrated?
I know a little bit about it. I know it's in the 1880s, 1882.
Bingo, bingo, ding, 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 ding. Robbie wins the grand prize. Well, at least the first prize. I wonder if you knew that out there in listening land. That's exactly right. Yeah, Labor Day, 1882. It became a federal holiday, though, in a different year. Do you know that year?
84.
You did your homework. Well, you
somebody sent me a website and this stuff.
Well, but you did say you studied it too, though, with your dad. Yeah. So Americans first celebrated Labor Day 1882, and it became a federal holiday in 1894.
Oh, wow. I was way off.
You're off by a decade. Horrible. And then nearly 20 years before the creation of the Labor Department, which we just talked about. So there you go. So that's one little fun fact. Let me throw one more at you. Let me throw another one at you. When we put our own, this is a quote here, ladies first. So, you know, women had a role in the labor force.
Big time.
When did they first officially kind of get engaged in the workforce? And do you know that?
I would guess they were probably very much involved in it in the 1870s as well, but I don't know.
Well, so this is interesting. So the Labor Department, the first cabinet agency was led by a woman. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
So for the Labor Department was the first cabinet agency led by a woman. Let me say it that way. The Labor Department, and her name was Frances Perkins, and six women have held the title since then, giving us the record, not just for the first, but for the most women secretaries as well in the Labor Department. And many of the women who followed in Perkins' footsteps have went on to blaze their own trail. Elaine Chao, Hilda Solis were the first Asian American and Hispanic women, the first Black woman to be in that role of Secretary of Labor, Alexis Herman, and then Elizabeth Dole.
Really?
Elizabeth Dole was the first woman to lead two different departments for two different presidents. You know what those, so one was labor. You know what the other department Elizabeth Dole would lead?
She's Secretary of State or something. I thought she had a pretty good role.
Transportation.
Oh, yeah. No, I should have known that. I feel badly.
Transportation. So
she was doling out the cards there. Yeah.
So women have had an impact. There you go. Robbie is the man with hey, go listen to his show, Christian Car Guy and Masculine Journey. There's about 10 different radio shows Robbie has on Truth Radio Network, and you'll get a barrel full of laughs from this guy. But so women, though, Robbie, prior to, I think you mentioned the Industrial Revolution, but and don't quote me on this. I haven't done a lot of homework on this, but prior to World War II,
yeah,
it was mainly men in in the workforce. Ladies, don't get mad at me if I'm misquoting that, but I do know this. Because of World War II and all the men going off to war, I know a lot of women needed to jump into the workforce, even if they didn't want to. Because at that time, even you look at the old shows, Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver and all these old shows, you know, the women for the most part were homemakers, raising children and loving on their husbands and taking care of the home, which is a full-time job in itself. In fact, I have two daughters, Tawny and Kendra, who both are homemakers, who are home just raising children, loving on their husbands.
Real labor, by the way.
Yep, real labor, yeah. And have given birth to right, those children. Right, right. So yeah.
But Rosie the Riveter, right?
Yes.
That's the whole picture that we have of World War II, all these women that really stepped up and had a lot to do with us winning the war.
The success of the war, of which my mom was one.
Really?
My mom worked in a munitions factory making ammunition for World War II.
Did she really?
Yep. So she jumped into the labor force, and eventually my dad, who was in the 82nd Airborne in the military, met him on a Greyhound bus trip headed west. Her and her girlfriend were going to California for a trip, an adventure.
Boy, am I glad they did too.
So the ladies got really, really engaged, and that shifted the whole home atmosphere as well. To fast forward to today, and now we got, you know, in many homes, just to make ends meet, we got both the husband and wife both working now, right? And of course, obviously, a lot of single homes, unfortunately, because of divorce. And so moms having
Let me tell you.
Single moms working.
Working two or three jobs, many of those single moms.
Yes, yes, many of them.
And so this day off is like a huge deal.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Hey, since we're talking about women, let me just stick with one more fun fact here as well. Women didn't always wear pants. Did you know that? Did you know for a long time they just men wore pants in the family?
And, unless you're in Scotland, then yeah.
Unless you're in Scotland, that's right. I have a kilt, by the way.
I'm not surprised.
I do. I have a kilt because I researched the old family name.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like there's a whole legacy there of Scotlanders. I have a lot of history in Scotland. Not just in Russia, but...
Okay, well, there you have it.
So this is a very lesser known fact. The department, when females, any idea when females really started wearing pants to work?
I would guess it was in the 40s because Rosie the Riveter, I think, had pants on.
So if you quote fashion forward would be the phrase, but typically... it really wasn't until where it kind of became more appropriate. Accepted and appropriate was in the 1970s.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, 1970s. And again, this is thanks to a woman named Elizabeth Duncan Coons, who is the director of the Women's Bureau and an advocate for women's rights. So there you are, ladies. Pants proved to be very practical.
Yeah.
And the rest is history, so to speak. So what other thoughts?
My thoughts are this, that you know, one of the coolest things that all that did that we're describing, even labor unions today in Michigan make sure that car salesmen and women get off on Sunday, right?
Yes.
That what you talked about earlier is that we got to have rest, and you know this from all your gym work, right? If you work a muscle and you don't rest it, right, it's not going to work out too good for that muscle, right? And it's the same thing with all of labor. And so, you know, God set up that whole deal, right? So that we would be able to do this. And when you think about the church itself, right, in the Song of Solomon, there's this spectacular passage in the fourth chapter that goes into the attributes of the bride of Christ. And this is Christ describing that bride, and he describes her in seven different ways. I'm not going to share them all with you right now, but they are in alignment, according to Matthew Henry, with the seven spirits of God. Mm. I just want to talk about her neck. And since if you ever saw Nikita's neck, this sucker's huge.
Okay? Well, he's back in the day. That was big now, but back in the day.
They had a neck, I'm just saying. Well, when God describes his church, the way he describes her neck is as the tower of King David, right?
Very descriptive.
And it's built in layers also as an armory. Okay, and on that armory hang 1,000 shields and 1,000 bucklers. of the valiant men. Okay. Now, if you were to take and look, Rashi, who's a famous Jewish commentary, said that the word shield, not the word buckler, but the word shield was should have been translated quiver.
Okay.
And if you were to look at a picture of the muscles of the neck, it looks like a quiver. And so the idea of that quiver, as you might remember from Proverbs, is all those disciples that go out like little shafts of light out of the neck.
It's good.
That all have the shield of faith, right? And the idea of this neck is the tower that protects the head, right? At the head of the church, so to speak. But as we do the Great Commission, which is what I know as a salesman, right? I was always looking for the Great Commission.
Yep.
And I got a Great Commission when I found out that, like, if you go make disciples, what those are, every single one of them is your spiritual child. And they are arrows that are being shot down, thousands of them from the church.
And filling up your quiver as well.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today. Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
What a relate. Wow, that is a. Man, if you've never considered that before, think about what Robbie just said. Just get it. Hopefully you got a visual as you were describing that. Wow.
The labor of church. See, as we send out all these other disciples, as we talk about the Bible or we talk about things like that, what are we doing? We're creating all these arrows, man, and it is a labor force that's unbelievable.
A labor force. And Labor Day weekend. And that's a great visual. We're almost out of time already, but it's crazy. And what a great visual you just gave. And if it, man, I tell you what, you could do some real study. The Song of Solomon is deep.
Oh my, yeah,
it is deep.
An elephant can swim around in that rascal.
I did a 25 session series study of the Song of Solomon, and what an allegory. And if you've never done that out there, or maybe you don't even know what we're referring to, a book in the Bible, because I can't assume that everyone knows what the Song of Solomon is. It's one of the books in the Bible, and what a love story, what an illustration too of God's love for his creation, and Jesus's love for his bride. Right, such a great allegory. With so many more fun facts we could bring you and give you here on Labor Day. But I hope you've enjoyed this special session, this Labor Day show with Robbie Dillmore. Robbie, real quick, how can more people find out more about all your shows?
My stuff is always at ChristianCarGuy.com. It's just Christian Car and then the word guy, all three together. That's all.
So enjoy your Labor Day weekend, and hope you found this somewhat enlightening and or fun, our conversation today. And aren't we grateful? We're just grateful. And I want to kind of wrap this show up, reemphasizing that biblical principle of what God the Creator established from day one. When you go back to the book of Genesis and you read where 6 days he labored, 6 days he labored, on the seventh day he rested. Can I encourage you out there? Don't work 7 days a week, and don't use the excuse I have to meet my, you know, to pay my bills. And understand the principle of tithes and offerings along with laboring 6 days, and you'll find the God of the universe will supply all of your needs. If you honor his principles, he'll honor you and bless you. Work 6 days, rest one. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in to this Labor Day special today. Robbie Dillmore, Nikita Koloff. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend with gratitude and thanksgiving in your heart. God bless you.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.